Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we're in our third session tonight of a series that we're doing on breakthrough in our finances. And this session I just entitled it Give, and it will be given to you. And what we've done in the past couple of sessions is all the sessions are going to have a measure of stories and some Bible verses. But the first couple of sessions are really just describing the reality of money as an on-ramp to encounter God. And just what a powerful tool that the Lord has given us to be able to encounter Him through the area of finances. Well, what we want to do tonight is we really want to lay some more of the groundwork of some of the key Bible passages that you guys are probably familiar with. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one of them, but just kind of unpack them a little bit and share some stories that go along with some of the concept. Because what we want to do is we want to have more than stories. I think that the stories are encouraging, they're fun. You know, you get to look into a little bit of my weakness and laugh at me. That's great. But what you really need to be sustained and to carry you through is you need the Bible written on your heart regarding these concepts. And the only reason I have these stories is because these verses were written on my heart as I was first developing my thoughts about God and about life and about who I am to Jesus. And so then these Bible verses caused me to reach to the Lord that then provoked or brought about the stories that that I told in the past sessions and will continue to. So really what we want to do is we're going to look at these verses tonight, and we'll move around quick. So if you've got either, you know, an eye something, or you're going to actually open the Word and move around, we're going to be going verse to verse pretty quickly. But the first one that we're going to touch on is Matthew 6, 3 through 4 here in just a minute. So I'll give you a heads up. You can turn there now. We want to look at what the Word says, and we want to take God at His Word, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems impossible. And so what we'll do in having these verses become just a part of our dialogue with the Lord, a part of our of what is written on our heart, is it shifts our thought processes, and it really develops a theology of giving. You know, we've got a theology of the cross. We've got a theology about forgiveness. We need a theology of giving, and really what we're saying by that is the study of how God thinks and feels about the subject matter. And so to look at the Word of God really gives us His perspective on how He thinks and feels about this stuff, which is the good stuff. That lets us know who it is that we're interacting with and what it is that we should actually expect. What we should expect. I expect that what goes up must come down is real. I expect if I jump up in the air, I'm going to land again. I expect that. I expect that if I'm, running real fast down a hill and I totally wax, I'm going to come out with some boo-boos. I expect it. There are some things in life that we have an expectation about that we just know this is how it is. And we want to look at what the Word of God says about the subject of giving and take God at His words and say, this is how it is. These aren't neat ideas. This is actually reality. This is really how it is before God. So that Matthew 6, 3 through 4 verse, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This Bible verse, what we want to take away more than the subject of giving on this, is we want to take away the reality that there's a real person watching us give that dollar. There's a real person whose eyes are on you when you give that dollar, or $10 or $100, whatever, however many zeros you stick on the end of it. When you give that dollar, there's a real person in heaven who saw the transaction and he's watching and he promises to move on your behalf because you gave that dollar. You don't give the dollar, he doesn't move on your behalf the way that he would if you give the dollar. Look what it says. But when you give, see to it that it's done in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He will see that dollar given, sown, given to the church, given to that missionary, sown into that situation, given in that love offering for that person, whatever it is. He'll see the money sown into His kingdom and into His purposes, and He promises to respond and reward according to that action. He is watching. Now, this is so encouraging, because if we get this, then this can really be a guiding force every time we're thinking about money. Here's how we most of the time think about money. We give because it's a good thing to do. It's what Christians do. It says something about it in the Bible. We want to instead look at it as there's a God in heaven who's waiting and watching in eager expectation at the edge of his seat, waiting to see what I do with my money. And that when I do something with it for his kingdom purposes, he's watching and he will reward. Now, this is really important and powerful for when there's a little delay in the storyline, for when the finances are tough, for when we're just not thinking about it, feeling about it. Many of you guys right now are at a place where if you had a dialogue with the Lord about making some significant investment into his kingdom with your finances, you'd be at a bit of a crossroads because of the difficulty of your current financial situation. And while I understand that, there's wisdom in letting the Lord lead us in certain seasons and different in others. There's a bit of a fear issue that if we were to give that money, no one is paying attention. No one would know. God's not watching. That would go unnoticed. And what Jesus is telling us in Matthew chapter 6 about his Father is that is impossible. He sees it every time. Your Father in heaven sees every dollar every time. This is the invitation. That it's not before man. It's not even before yourself. It's before a God in heaven who sees every time you do it and who promises, and he's not a liar. It's impossible for God to lie. He promises. This is Jesus talking about his Father. The Father and Jesus are one. He's got perfect understanding of how the Father lives, operates, thinks, and deals. And he says, this is a truth about my Father. He will see what is done in secret and he will reward you. That there will be a response from an unseen God who sees those things that you do in the hidden place with your finances. It's really, really good news. And this is a part of the theology of our giving, because what this gives us freedom to do is imagine you're visiting some place and you've got the really pushy, kind of arrogant preacher that's like begging you for your money and telling you you're a dirty, rotten sinner if you don't give it. Okay? I'm talking about like the worst pressure give environment you've ever heard of. In that environment, you're still not doing it for that guy. You're still not doing it before that person or under the motivation of whatever they have to say. You would do it or not do it before God alone. Whatever they say. I mean, sometimes I've been rebuked before by lost people and they were right. I mean, like I was doing something and a lost person said, you know, man, you're sure some good Christian. And I'm like, oh, dude, you're totally right. It was the meanest way they could have said it. Came from the worst source I could imagine. It wasn't like a faithful brother who was trying to go, you know, bro, you really probably ought to work. I mean, they cussed at me in the middle of it. It was awful and they were right and it was good. And it provoked something fruitful in my life because I dealt with that situation. What this Bible verse does is it allows us to see our money every time, every situation, no matter what the externals, whatever the circumstances, allows us to see it as a conversation between us and God. And that he's watching and he promises to move in accordance to your giving. That's so powerful, because then we don't have the pressures of the people and the situations and the this. We just have the unseen God who sees our secret giving, the thing that no one would know or care about. They wouldn't even, you know, it's not like, you know, people do reports on, you know, on all this stuff and then you'd wind up on the news for your giving. It's between you and the Lord. And every time that's the case, and this is a part of our theology, whenever we're talking about money, is it's really me, God, money, what? What am I going to do with it? Every situation, every scenario. And that just is so freeing when we begin to think of our money and our giving in that way, that there's an unseen God on the other side of that equation. Well, the whole concept of our giving is a journey, because if there is no invisible God on the other end of that conversation, then you just wasted your money. And then you just gave up your money, whether it was a dollar or 10, you just gave up your money to no benefit of yourself, and it was really kind of a waste. I mean, it does some nice things on the planet, I suppose, for some people. But really, in all honesty, in the whole concept of giving in a relationship with God, if there is no person on the other side of that conversation, then you're just sowing it, throwing it up into the air, and letting the wind blow it away. We've got to come to a point where we begin to count on, where we begin to expect that there is a person on the other side of that conversation who sees it and who promises to respond. The promised response. That's a major point that we would count on it. Well, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen that breakthrough yet. I did this thing X amount of days, weeks, years ago, and I've not seen the breakthrough yet. You need to count on the Bible is real and true, and it does not lie. And God promises to reward that giving. And so you've got to continue to count on and expect there is money coming. There is provision coming. There is power coming. There is a move of God coming that is going to be in response to that act of charity, that kindness in the area of finances. God is not a liar. There is a response coming to that, to that giving. Well, I'll tell a story. And I was in a season where I hadn't seen God moving in the finance thing in a while. And I told you guys before, and I continue to build on it so that the storyline makes sense, that maybe the first year or so in Christ, I just decided I was going to give away 30%, and that was going to be my new 10%. I was just going to let 30% be the bottom and a starting point, and just see what God would do. And so I'd been given that, sowing that regularly. And there was a season where I just hadn't seen God really do anything in a while. And I was kind of starting to waver if I wondered, God, are you still in this whole given, it will be given to you thing? Are you still, doing that? How does this work? And I had this crazy situation happen. It was another gas story. I told you guys one a week or two ago. Well, this one was a little bit different. I'm in a season where I don't have any finances. The things are pretty slim, and I've got $4 in my pocket, and I'm going to go get gas, and I need to get gas, and I got $4. So how much am I going to get? I'm going to get $4 of gas. And so I'm kind of thinking about this whole God given, it will be given to you thing. And I wasn't actually in a faith-filled mood, so I wasn't praying. I was probably grumbling a little bit, if I'm honest. And I go to the gas station. I'm thinking, man, how far am I going to get on $4 of gas? And Lord, I just need you to take care of me. And I wasn't really praying. I was just kind of, again, grumbling. And the most important thing to do when you get to the gas pump and you have $4 worth of gas is make sure you don't go over $4 on the gas pump, right? And it's kind of a key deal. Okay? Well, I'm preoccupied thinking about how upset I am and grumbling or whatever, and I feel the click. I filled the entire tank up. And I go, oh, no, you big dummy. What are you going to do? I'm thinking, I got $4. I got $4 in my pocket. I'm thinking, what's going to happen here? And I look up, because I just like lost my train of thought or whatever. I just lost or whatever. And I needed to stop at $4. And the thing clicks off, and I just realized I've been daydreaming for a while. And I look up, and it says $3.57 up on the gas. And I was like, that's impossible. This thing went for a long time. Like, how does this work? And I look over, and it shows the gallons. It gave me a full tank of gas. And I look back at the amount on the thing, and I go, $3.57? I look back at the thing. I think it was like 12 gallons or whatever filled up the tank, 11 gallons. I don't know, something like that. I go, and I'm thinking about how I was just grumbling. I go, I got to go in and talk to the guy. Like, this isn't going to work. I got $4 in my pocket. And I go in, and I got $4 in cash. And I go, hey, I don't really know how to explain this. I think it gave me a full tank of gas, but it only showed for $3.57. What do I owe you? $3.57. I think it filled up the whole gas tank. I think I've got a full tank. Does that matter to you? Just give me the $3.57, sir. I give him the $4. He gives me change back. I leave with a full tank of gas. That really happened. I still can't explain how that happened, except that I'm in this middle of this crisis moment, whether I believe or not that God is real and that it really does answer and that it really does break in with power. And I'm looking at this going, he didn't give me money. He gave me gas this time. But his provision is real. He sees which is done in secret, and he promises to reward us. He promises to. I just threw that little story in there because it was just so amazing to me that that happened. I was digging through some old notes and some old journal entries and those kinds of things, and I found that story, and I was like, my heart was rewowed this last week by how stinking cool that story was. Well, this concept of given, it will be given to you, that's a passage in Luke 6:38, if you guys want to go there. Luke 6:38. And the passage is actually a broader passage about giving in any way you could give, whether it's your time, your money, your energy, love, affection, you know, friendship, forgiveness, money, whatever the case may be. It's a promise of an equation. And this equation is that the Lord promises to respond when we give. If he promises to respond, then he is a liar if he doesn't respond. God's not a liar. I'm trying to empower us tonight to believe the Bible and take it at its word, to take God at his word. This is what the passage says. You guys are familiar with it. This is not a new Bible verse to you. I just want it to be new to your heart, that it would awaken you to take steps and believe that there's a God on the other side of this equation who actually listens, sees, and responds. Luke 6:38, give. The words of Jesus. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is Jesus talking about the way that God's economy works, not limited to finances only, but absolutely included in the area of finances. And we can tell because Paul uses this passage and develops it further in 2 Corinthians 9. We'll look at it in just a second. He uses the same language talking about the area of money specifically. And so Jesus here, describing the economy of God, he says this is how it works. You give God a little, he comes back and he pours an abundance and an overflow into your lap, so much it's running over and you can't keep track of all of it. And this is a promise from Jesus about how God operates. Look at it again. Give and it will be given to you a good measure. Press down. The idea is that you've got a basket and you're trying to get as much, you know, whatever the thing is into that basket. I'm thinking cotton, you know. How much could you fill up with cotton, you know, in a basket? Well, you could get a good amount, but if you push it down, pressed it down, weighted it down, you could get a whole lot more cotton into that thing to the point where it's even overflowing. And this analogy that Jesus is using, he's talking about the whole concept of weights and measures and how you would go and get grain, you know, and put it in your bag or your basket or whatever. He says, shaken together so that all the little pieces go down to the very bottom so that you can get more in on the top. He's saying, if you give, this is how God responds every time. You give, he responds, shaken together, press over, or press down, shaken together, and running over, be poured into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is Jesus saying to us regarding the promise that God not only sees when you give, he pays attention to how much. Now, when I say how much, don't think zeros, think percentages. Because it's not like God is more impressed with the millionaire that gives, you know, $100,000 as little old you or me when we give a dollar or $10. It's really way more about how much do you have? How much do you have available? How big is your heart in that area? The Lord promises not only to respond to your giving, but to respond to the measure. Did you give a little? Did you give a little more than a little? Did you give a lot? Did you give a whole lot more than a lot? The Lord responds to the measure. He says, and he will measure that back to you. He's looking, he's waiting, he's watching. I am waiting on significant financial income to come into my life. Because I've been sowing for 15 years and I've not seen some of the things that this Bible passage promises. With the measure that you sow, so shall you reap. With the measure that you invest, so shall it come back to you. I'm still waiting to see significant promises, and I will. I'll see them because God's not a liar. I've seen his hand throughout my whole life in Christ. But there are promises in the Word regarding the measure that you sow in. God is going to return however many fold back to you, like your version of a dollar versus God's version of a dollar. He's got a much bigger dollar. His currency system is way bigger and better and stronger, and our little inflated system down here, he takes account for. What we sow, he's looking at, and he promises to measure back to us. Well, now Paul, taking this this very Bible passage and what he knows about God and the kingdom and finances, he says this in 2 Corinthians 9, a passage you guys are familiar with. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, if you guys want to turn there. Paul, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. And now he who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This is one of my favorite passages on the subject of giving because it's got so much meat in it. I'm not going to break all of it down, but just to give a couple of little touch points here. Here's Paul repeating the words of Jesus, and he says, if you sow sparingly, God will see to it that you reap. But you'll reap according to how you sowed. You'll reap sparingly. But if you sow generously, God is watching. And he promises in the area of your finances, if you will sow generously into the kingdom, that you then will reap generously because God is watching. This is the reason I think it's such wisdom that everybody would tithe to their local church and then figure out a way to give another 10, 20, 30, 60, 90% away someplace else. I think it is so important that we figure out ways to invent ways to give away money. Because this is what Paul says. He says he's able to bless you abundantly so that the following could be true. God wants you to have money so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you could abound in every good work. Well, what's the every good work? Paul's talking about the area of finances and doing stuff with your money to get the kingdom moving forward, to do good deeds regarding finances. And he says it this way. He says, the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, those two concepts, the idea of seed, you put seed in the ground so it can grow and become more stuff. That's the idea of giving into the kingdom. Bread for food, that's you took the seed and you made grain, you made bread, you ate it. So some seed, some money the Lord gives you is for you to live off of. And some money the Lord gives you isn't for you to live off of. And if you live off of it, you actually disrupt the purposes that the Lord had for that money. Some seed is not intended for you to eat. It's intended for you to sow back into the kingdom. So Paul says this. He says, God has the ability to supply for you both categories. Seed for you to eat and seed for you to sow. And God wants you to have so much seed to sow that you will be abundant in every good work so that he will supply the increase of your store of seed, the harvest of your righteousness, and you'll be enriched in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. This word generous is very different than stingy. It's very different than status quo. This word generous is very different than what was expected. This word generous means lavish, extravagant, over and above what was not expected. In fact, what was expected, I blew out of the water through the concept of how much I poured into that. And again, how much isn't how many zeros. It's how much of you were able to give. It's what percentage of what you had that you sowed. It's not about the dollar amount. It's about the percentage of what you have in your ability. Again, Jesus praised the woman who had two copper coins, and she gave two copper coins. Jesus looked at it and called it awesome and drew everybody's attention to it and said, this is faith, this Gentile woman. This lady has got it. All you need to pay attention to this lady. She understands how the Father sees finances. She gets it. So it's not about the dollar amount. It's about the percentage. That lady gave 100% of what she had at the point. And it pleased the Lord. He says this, that you would be enriched in every way so you could continually be generous on every occasion. Somebody needs money. There's a need at the church. There's a missionary you want to support. There's this project that you want to help fund. There's this thing that you want to see move forward. There's this ministry you want to support. That you would have money enough to be generous everywhere, all the time, every time. Not that you would have so much money that you could live high on the hog, do everything you want, have everything your dreams you ever imagined, everything you ever saw on TV, everything your culture ever told you you'd have, but that you would have so much money you could continually and always in every way be generous to build the kingdom of God. And the Lord promises to take care of you. The Lord promises to take care of your finances, your household, to provide for you. But He will not give for you. And He will only give back to you according to you giving to Him. You giving into His kingdom. I just want us again to assess the paycheck that we get, the finances that come in. Ask the Lord, Lord, how much of this paycheck is supposed to be bread for me to eat? Pay my light bill, put gas in my car, buy the clothes I need, whatever. How much of it is bread for food? And God, how much of this paycheck did you actually intend to be seed for sowing into the kingdom? And I think the Lord wants to dialogue with us on that point and give us answers that perhaps we've never thought through before. We'll turn to Deuteronomy 15:10. Deuteronomy 15:10 is the Old Testament Bible passage of these same concepts. It's the same exact language, same concept, but it's back in the law where God is trying to write on the hearts of the entire assembly of believers, the whole community of God. He's trying to, back in the law, explain this principle because, again, the last two sessions, He wants to encounter us. This has so much more to do with God encountering us than it does Him needing our money to do stuff. Deuteronomy 15:10 says this: give generously and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. Now, in that hour, the concept of an economy, I mean, it just really didn't exist. I mean, it was a very, in the sense of currency and all those different things, the nation of Israel at this point is still wandering around out in the desert. And they don't have a financial economy the way that you and I would see it. What they do have, however, is the reality that without currency, God can still bless them with supernatural manna on the ground every day. God can still bless them with their flocks producing abundantly over more than they could ever ask or think, with causing their clothes not to wear out, with causing all these different things. The Lord was still able to bless, and He's speaking over the nation, and He says, I desire that you would be a people who understand how this works, and that you could experience the great blessing of the Lord pouring out on you in every way. Look at it again. Do so without a grudging heart. Give generously. And if you do, the Lord your God will bless you in all the work of your hand and or everything that you put your hand to and in all of your work. There's a promise. This is not just like a Jesus came up with it in the New Testament. This is a reality point of who God is. I so want us as a people to begin to see God this way, as one who promises over and over. These are not isolated passages. These are identification points of who He is, His character, His nature. He longs to give back to us, but He requires our generosity when no one can see it, no one will care, when no one knows. He requires it, and He says, if you'll do this, I will bless you in all of your work and everything you put your hand to. What a way to live through life. To trust that there's always going to be good things happening to me. I'm counting on good things happening to me in the area of finances. I'm counting on whatever I put my hand to, I'm counting on it prospering. Whatever it is that I would invest my energy into as a laborer, I'm counting on it being blessed and it producing revenue, because following this capacity or this concept that the Lord lays out in Deuteronomy, that I will give generously with an expectation that God is on the other side of that equation and He will bless my stuff. He'll bless my finances. He'll bless my work. He'll bless my labor and my efforts so that those things will prosper, grow, and benefit because I want to be able to continue to give back into the kingdom. And as Paul said it, God's desire is that you would be able to have so much speed that you'd be able to take care of your piddly little needs, whatever things you need. The Lord will look after those. But that you'd have so much seed that on every occasion you could build the kingdom of God and be generous in the way that you do it. Well, one more Bible verse, and I'll tell a few more stories. Psalm 112, verse 5. The Lord just promises goodness. Psalm 112, verse 5. He promises goodness. We know that the Lord is good. We know that He is love. And at His very core, He is good. And so when He pours out Himself, His nature, all kinds of good and sweet things happen. Psalm 112, verse 5 says this. This is the Lord's heart. Good will come to those who are generous. Good will come. Just good stuff's going to happen. The Lord will see to it that good happens to those who are generous and lend freely and who conduct their affairs with justice. The Lord promises goodness and mercy. The Lord promises to pour out His goodness. And here again, a tie to generosity. Why do I spend all this time developing this? Because I want you to start to think of yourself as a generous giver who's just getting started. One who is generous, who gets to then operate in the supernatural economic system of the kingdom. Who always has more money coming, you just can't see it yet. Who always has blessings in the financial realm coming, you just don't know where they're coming from yet. To start to see yourself as a generous giver in the kingdom, who can be entrusted with little, who can be entrusted with more, who can be entrusted with much. I want you to start to see yourself as one of God's generous brokers in the kingdom of God, who get to operate according to a different set of rules, who get to count on encounter with God, who get to count on supernatural finances and supernatural stories, because the Lord promises He will send His goodness. He will send good things, prosperity, generosity, over and above. With the measure that you sow, so shall you reap. Pressed down, running over into your lap. He promises that if you will be generous with your finances, He will be over and above generous back to you so that you can continue to operate in those finances. Well, as we posture ourselves to be generous, I just want to again share this this point that's often easy to overlook. The concept of what we're trying to paint here in this a series on giving is not that you would do the big giving thing one time. I appreciate the one-time thing. I would so much rather us be a people who never do the one-time big giving thing, who are just always faithful to be sowing on a regular basis, every week, every month, every year, every week, every month, every year. And if you have the opportunity to do the big give thing, do it. But don't look at that big give thing as, okay, I did the big giving one time a year, you know, end of the year, you know, do my taxes, I sow that, and now I don't have to worry about giving the rest of the year. I can just do my tithing thing, and I'll be okay because God will bless my finances. I want us to look at the concept of figuring out how to posture yourself perpetually to be leaning into the kingdom in the area of finances, where you're constantly giving more than you feel comfortable with. Constantly. Not that one-time gift. I mean constantly figuring out a way to build a financial system in your household finances where you are constantly positioning yourself to see God move and to see Him through the concept of generosity. So when I'm saying give to a point where you feel pressed a little bit, the biblical language is always be generous. Well, if you're always giving a little, but you're not always giving generously, then you're always in a place where you've still got a buffer. You've still got more. You've still got extra. But the concept of being generous means you had the ability to be able to do more, and you did more. To live generously that way is a promise that there will always be more coming. Now, I want to share a few stories. Because again, I want to base this not off of I gave the one-time gift and then I saw the one-time return. I want to talk about just the promises of provision from being a person who just gives into the kingdom. Because again, I just early on, that just just seemed like that 30% number just seemed like a good number to me. You know, I told you how I got there, but that just seemed like a wise way to live to me, was just, I want to give a lavishly into the kingdom, and I want to figure out how to turn that 30 into 40 and 50 and 80 and 90%. I want to figure out how to be able to give and sow more. So I don't want to celebrate the 30% as though that's the arrival point. I want to look at that as a new beginning and say, God, help me to be able to be generous on all occasions. But because I've been living that way, and especially in those early years, there was an expectation in my heart that the Lord would continually do kind things for me and give to me. I'll share a couple of those stories. Well, during that period of time where I was making $111 a month after taxes. You guys remember me telling you some of those stories. It was a very interesting season where I just did not ever have money unless the Lord supernaturally gave it to me, because I was making $100 a month. Well, during that season, I was experimenting with this whole notion of giving away 30% of my income and just hoping that God would see it and would move. And it wasn't like I did it the first month and then something crazy blowing my mind happened that first month. Little trinkets happened. The Lord was taking care of me. But there were some moments that were blow my mind moments. Again, imagine making $100 a month and what trying to figure out how to live off of that. And then something like this story that I'm about to share happens. I was used to the kind of concept of pay as you go. I had a need. I needed a bill, you know, paid $54. I'd get $54. That was kind of what I was used to. But one time I was visiting a couple that I hadn't seen in maybe a year or so. And I was, they were some friends from a church that, from the church I got saved in Louisville. And I hadn't talked to them a while. And I was just kind of catching them up on how life was going and what was, you know, going on in my life and stuff. And they invited me over, you know, for burgers or whatever. I don't remember. Maybe it's probably a better dinner than that. She was an awesome cook. And you know, I'm just hanging out talking to them. And after dinner, they walk up to me and they just say, you know what? We just want to give you some money. And I just smile, and I'm thinking, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to get $25. I'm going to get to go, you know, and eat a couple of burgers. They write me a check for $500. I don't know this couple that well. I hadn't seen them in a year. I didn't tell them what my finances looked like. They had no idea I was making $100 a month. Who would even believe that? I mean, what person would do that? And they write this check to me for $500. I could just remember in that moment, looking at that and going, abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. I just remember this going, that's 5 months worth of paychecks for going and eating their food. Oh, I can do this. And I can just remember looking at that going, this isn't like month to month. This wasn't pay the bill or, you know, sew and then get the amount of money that you need just to pay the bill. This was like, I don't even know what to do with $500. At that point, I had such a different mentality on life. When I got that $500, I was just shocked and astounded. It was like I won the lottery. I'm looking at this $500. I'm just astounded by God's ability to pour back into my lap, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, give me more money that I even had more to be able to give. You know what I did with some of that $500? I sowed it. I sowed it back into the kingdom. I don't remember how much. I don't remember the details. I am sure I bought myself a good, you know, burger and whatever else. And I probably went on vacation. I don't know what I did. But I sowed some of that money back into the kingdom because I was just so excited to, like, have money to be able to sow back into the kingdom and make somebody's day and give them $50 or something. I just remember being shocked by that. Well, during that season, you know what the Deuteronomy passage says? It says, I'll bless everything you put your hands to. What you work on, everything you're involved in, I'll just bless your stuff. Well, during that season of time, I told you a little bit about the car that I was driving. I had the most beater of a car. It was a 92 Hyundai Excel, and this was before Hyundai had a name. This was when Hyundai was still practicing on building cars, okay? It was a clunker new, okay? Well, I got it way used, and then it had been in 2 car accidents, both when I wasn't even there. It was just awful. I won't go into all the details in the boohoo story. Here's the point. The car, all 4 windows were broken up, so they couldn't roll down. The air conditioner was broken. The vent wouldn't even turn. Everything was wrong with this car that you could possibly imagine, okay? But I had $0 for an oil change during this season. I had $0 to do anything for this car. I couldn't ever do anything. The car ran for a whole year. I bought the car, by the way, after the two car accidents. I bought it from the insurance company for $200. It was totaled. So the car was actually not probably, you know, fully legal. I mean, I actually did pass inspection, another story, but just don't ask. So the car is a total mess. I bought it for $200 and I'm driving it for a year. I never, besides gas, I never put $1 into the car. And for a year, the car ran. Now, when I say ran, what I really mean is every time I went out, I turned the ignition and the car didn't start. It ran, right? Yeah, it's not running. I went out every day, I started the car, I turned the ignition and the car wouldn't start. And I'd sit there and I'd pray and the car would start. And I did that for a year, and I've got dozens of witnesses that saw that happen. The car would not start. It had so many things wrong with it. I mean, turn. Oh, God, please, turn. Well, putt. Yeah. And that car, for a whole year, I had that car for $200. I never put another dollar into it. I couldn't afford oil change. It ran for a year before it finally gave out. And then I turned around and sold the car for $100. So that car, for a year, cost me $100 and not a dime more. The Lord was blessing what little I had. He looked upon my weak little whatever and said, well, it's not an awesome car, but at least I'll keep it running for him. But I'm going to keep him leaning on me. Notice it wasn't just that it ran. I had to pray. It was a daily reminder, oh, yeah, I need you or this doesn't work. And the Lord allowed that car to run for a whole year under that particular, you know, concept. Okay, so I got another one. Again, I'm in a season where I'm just believing God and I'm sowing. And some months it just looks crazy to try to sow. It just looks so foolish. It looks like the most bankrupt idea. And I'm journaling one time. And I'm going, God, you know, this is maybe a year or two after the $500 check thing that had happened. And I'm remembering back on that and going, man, that was sweet. Haven't seen that happen in a while. And I was like, Lord, double it. I'm thinking about that and I'm journaling. I go, just have somebody write me a check for $1,000 today. I go, God, I'm just in a faith-filled mood. I just want to see you abundantly provide for me just today. I wasn't in need. I had my bills paid. This wasn't like to get a bill paid. I'm just going, God, just like go crazy. Just have somebody write me a check for $1,000 and I can just do with it whatever the heck I want to do with it. Just have somebody write me a check today. Now again, sowing faithfully for years. Later on that same day, somebody came up to me. It was after a Bible study. They came up to me and they said, you know, I just today in prayer, I just felt like I was supposed to give you some money. If I gave you a check for $1,000, would that be okay? And my eyes just lit up. I was shocked. I was like, yeah, that'd be all right. Be all right. You can do that. They write me a check for $1,000, the very thing I prayed for that day. And to me, it wasn't even about the money. It was about, God, I just need a reminder that this whole economy thing works. I just need a reminder, God, remember I've been giving faithfully with my little. I've been giving, God, I just need to see you break through. God, would you do it today? Would you give me $1,000 today? Somebody comes up to me that day and says, I was praying about you today, and I felt like I was supposed to give you some money. How's $1,000 sound? I just shocked. I was so shocked that I had journaled that same day, because God sees what is done in secret, and he promises to reward. And he sees with the measure that you sow. In that season of life, $1,000 was like a million. $1,000? I probably didn't even know what to do with it. Like, that was so much money to me. And it was God just shocking me with his faithfulness, and to do it in the exact way that I needed. So powerful. I want to look at a verse again in Deuteronomy 8. 8:18. This is a Bible passage that we already looked at once. I just want to review it a little bit and talk about the character of God regarding him giving you power to make wealth, but him wanting you to use that wealth for specific purposes and not just at your own whim. Him giving that power. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, and he may confirm his covenant with you, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day." God empowering each of you in this room with the ability to go make money. Now, some of you will make money through just your physical strength. The Lord will use that. Some of you will make money through your brain. You're just a smarty. Some of you, the Lord will allow you to make money through your family connections. You got a really sweet situation, or through the culture that you grew up, or this or that. The Lord is the one, however, that gives you the power to make wealth, and that wealth is relative. It's not the same for everybody. It's not that the Lord gives every person the power to make $10 million. That's not what this Bible verse says. The power to make wealth will be relative to you, to your circumstances, to your faithfulness in giving, to who the Lord wants you to be, to his person, to the things that he wants you to do. But he gives every single person the capacity to make wealth. And that make wealth, that word wealth, when you think wealth, the last thing you think about is, the person who lives in a tent because they don't have the ability to, get anything at all, and the $3 that they have. You don't really look at that and go, man, you are so wealthy. When you think about wealth, you think about the concept of extra. Overage, having more than you need. That's the concept of wealth. And while wealth can be relative, wealth can't be bankrupt. Wealth has to be an overage, a supply, an extra, the ability to make wealth, not the ability to just get by. God has promised each of you the ability to make wealth, that you would have extra overage, additional, that you could do stuff with that wealth. And that's what the Lord's promises here, that he empowers you to make that wealth, but you've got to apply it the right way and seek him out so that those things can be used the way that he wants. Well, he's got objectives of what he wants to do with that wealth, but it's different than what we've been taught and what we've been sold. Listen, I know there's an entire prosperity movement that talks about God wants us to give us so much money regarding this whole given, it will be given, so that we can live as millionaires and have everything we ever wanted and have every one of our wildest dreams met. And that's not exactly what that wealth is for. In fact, that can really be abusive. The Lord does not want us to be impoverished and poor. I'm not talking about a poverty mentality of every dollar you give, you need to give it away or you're a sinner. That's dumb. That is not what I'm saying. But neither am I saying that God wants you to have everything that you could ever imagine and every big this and every extra that. The Lord gives wealth so that you can do with the wealth that which he once built. One of the greatest examples is a passage in Exodus. You guys are familiar with the story. I'll just read it to you out of Exodus 25. The Israelites have looted the Egyptians. Okay? They've come up out of Egypt and they've got all this gold and earrings and all this stuff, all this wealth. They have all this money. Okay? And they come out of Egypt with all this money. I'll read you the passage, Exodus 25, 1 through 7. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering from everyone whose hearts prompt them to give." Now the passage, what we're going to look at here in the rest of this, this is sometime after the Israelites have come up out of Egypt. God is the one that told them to totally loot the nation of Egypt so that when they left Egypt, they had lots and lots of bling. They walk out of there gazillionaires. They walk out of there with so much money, so much wealth. They've got so much abundance and supply. They walk out into the desert where they can't even spend any of the money because there's no economic system out in the desert and they're not interacting with any of the other nations at that point. They walk out into the desert, imagine with like treasure chests filled with gold. It's not exactly that way, but it's not a bad picture. So imagine this community of people that have no way to spend the money. They go out into the desert with treasure troves of gold, all these chests full of money. And they get out there and they've got all this money and they're like, God has given us power to make wealth. What do we do with it? And God says, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering from everyone whose hearts prompt them to give. These are the offerings you're to receive from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skin, skins dried, dyed red, and another type of durable leather, a cassia wood, olive oil for light, spices for the anointing oil, the fragrance of incense, onyx stones, other gems to be mounted in the ephod and the breastplate. Here's what God says. I want you to use your wealth to build my kingdom. He says, I want you to take up an offering from their wealth. He doesn't say, give me all of your wealth. He says, that wealth that I gave you, I want you to look in your heart and whatever your heart prompts you to do, I want you to take up your wealth and so into my kingdom objectives. And at this time, they built the tabernacle and they built the priestly garments and they constructed all this stuff out of the wealth that God had given them. That is the perfect picture of what God wants us to do with our wealth. To take it, and he's always saying, now through a million different avenues, through different ministries, you know, missionaries, you know, people, you know, churches, you know, situations that need it, individuals that could use some finances. In every area of your life, the Lord is giving the same invitation again. He's saying, I want you to look into your heart, and I want you to take up an offering for me. Out of your wealth, I want you to sow generously into these purposes. And the Lord desires to give us power to make wealth so that we'll be able to use it to build his kingdom. Well, I'm going to close out here in just a few little points on the power of giving. Okay? One of the things that happens is when God gives us power to make wealth and we use that wealth to give back into his kingdom, the reason it's power is because that money has the ability to do crazy things that not money can't. Money has the ability to do things that without money, you can't do those things. Specifically in the area of giving is what we're talking about. There is a power that rests on money for you to be able to use that money and do stuff with it that is powerful, that shifts things. I'll give you a few examples. One, the power to change other people's lives. I'll give you a few little personal stories. And, you know, just as I've been processing all this, I'm like, I just so want to be able to use the testimonies that the Lord's given over the course of the years to encourage you. And the only way I can do that is to tell stories that I'm not super comfortable letting everybody know the stuff that I've done. But there's no other way for me to personally be able to bear witness to it. And I know the power these stories have when you hear them. Because I've heard stories like this, and it provoked me to go, ooh, I want to do something like that. And it was powerful in my heart, and I'm grateful for those stories being shared. So, now you know. The power to change lives. I can remember one time, I only had a few dollars here and there. And I saved up some money, and I bought somebody a really nice Bible. And they told me how much that impacted them. It just changed their life. I spent, you know, maybe, I don't know, $40 on a nice leather Bible and got them this Bible. It was way more than I could, you know, normally afford at that point. It was something that I sewed into them. And they just, for years they thanked me for that. For years they were so grateful. It made an impact on that person's life because every time they saw that Bible, they didn't have a little, you know, ragtag paper Bible. They had this really nice Bible. They really wanted a good Bible. It made impact on their life. And they were so grateful. And it caused a spirit of thanksgiving to rise up in them. You know that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? Paul says, your generosity will turn into thanksgiving in our hearts as you sow into us. It will make powerful impact in our lives. You'll be able to empower us. You will impact us through your money. And that's what it's supposed to do. I remember, this was years later, and here's what I want to paint for you, the picture. If you continue on this journey, you will wind up with more money down the road than you have right now. The Lord will look upon your faithfulness, and he will continue to promote you. There may be seasons where things dip and difficulties, but over the long haul, as you look at it at the 10-year mark, you will be way better off financially than you are right now if you stay this course, because it's the way that the Lord does the whole economy. So I share that because when I started off, I only had a few dollars to give. Well, as time went on, situations happened, finances moved, this, that, and the other, some savings. I was able to buy somebody a car. It was the coolest thing in the world. It totally changed their life. They were able to get a job that they weren't able to get because they didn't have a car. I was able to change that person's life. I mean, they went from not having the ability and no hope and no thought of the whole, you know, of God giving them a car. I mean, they had no thought that there was ever going to be a shift in their circumstances and the way that things could go. And just the way that the Lord had blessed me, I put some money aside, and I was able to buy somebody a car. And when they got that, they were able to get a job. They were able to shift their perspective on things. It really made a major impact in their life. It really impacted their life. Money became power to that person. It was able to bring power into that life and to change their life and to shift their circumstances. It was powerful. Another time, there was a person that I knew. They had some kids and they were in a situation where they weren't going to be able to do anything for their kids for Christmas because they were in a certain amount of money of debt. It was a good amount. And again, I've just been doing the best I could to put some money aside with the hope that I'd eventually be able to do something powerful with that money. And there was this opportunity. I was able to get them out of debt. And as a result, they were so thankful. They had a good Christmas for their kids. It changed their household. It changed the way that they saw life. It changed their perspective. It brought joy and peace and just it gave them so much hope that they could actually be able to press on. It was such a hope to them that somebody on the planet even cared about them. I mean, they were shocked that I even had the money. I don't even know how I had it. The Lord had given me supernatural money. I kept putting the money away. I don't even know how it happened. But then one way or the other, the thing landed and it was powerful. It wasn't the amount. It was the ability to do something in a person's life that was powerful, that they felt it. They were shocked. They were in awe. They were so grateful to God as a result of that powerful deed, being able to make a difference in a person's life. The power to unlock our own hearts. So the power to change lives, one category. The power to unlock hearts, that's another. I gave to some person that really irritated me one time. And I did it so I could get this thing off my heart because I knew there was power in it. A person that really bothered me, really irritated me. I really just wished I could make them go away. And I gave some money into their circumstances, and it unlocked my heart to be able to love them. They didn't bug me anymore. The hearing stories or having them come around or whatever the situation would be, they didn't bug me anymore. It unlocked my heart. Giving unlocked my heart. Happens the same. It's the reason that I think everybody should tithe to their local church, because it unlocks your heart to that church. It unlocks your heart to that leadership team. You get a vested interest in what's going on in that congregation and in that leadership. And when you're sowing your money into a church like that, when the leadership makes mistakes or when there's issues or whatever, you've got vested interest and your heart is unlocked. The Lord uses money to do a powerful thing in your own heart to cause you to be knit to that situation, those people. Amy and I, a number of years ago, went through a real difficult time, and we had a miscarriage. And in that moment, in that night, we were broken. I mean, we were a mess. We needed help. We didn't know what to do. And we called our pastor and just were telling him about what was going on and just get him praying for us. And without hesitation, he said, "I'm giving you $200 right now. Go out of town. Go get a hotel. You guys take a few days to be able to mourn and be able to process this." Because he knew we weren't going to be able to do it if we were in town, because we just had so much going on and life was too demanding. We needed to get away from everything. Our hearts were so knit. We loved that man and his wife. We've loved them for years. But our hearts were so knit in that moment that there was this powerful deed that they took finances and bailed us out of a situation, did something kind for us, did something. It was powerful. I remember that to this day. My heart and mind just think back to that, about just the willingness and the love that was shown in that act of kindness of just giving us a couple hundred dollars in a moment that we needed it. It was power to unlock hearts, power to knit people together. I've already shared some of those stories, but the way that the Lord uses money to knit people together, to unlock hearts, and it's power to move God. And this is just this last reminder of that verse, of the Matthew chapter 6 verse that we read, and that is that God is watching. And what this means is he's moved to action, he's moved to emotion, he's moved to response. You have the power to move God when you give money. I look at the power to change lives and the power to unlock hearts, and I'm excited about those powers. The power, like a superpower, to move God. What in the world? How powerful you are that you could move God. And God says, "Oh, I delight that you would move me. I long to be moved. I want to be moved. Test me in this," he says in Malachi. In the Matthew passage, "Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you," as in, will do stuff he wasn't going to do. He will move. You will move God through your giving. The power of giving to move God, change circumstances, change lives, impact hearts, unlock hearts, knit people together. You have power to make wealth, and the Lord desires that you would use it to impact his kingdom.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.